nowadays, meaning the religion is the religion at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, which the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned the characteristics of the saved sect. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهُ أَصْحَابِ الْيَوْمِ, whatever me, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, and my companions are on today, meaning are on the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So whatever something introduced after the Prophet ﷺ that it's not part of the religion, then it's rejected, it's not part of this religion. And I mentioned earlier that I would mention a story about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which shows how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very strict in matters of innovations in the religion. And actually we'll show us this story, how something happened that is existing nowadays in the Muslim world. When one of the Sahaba, one of the great companions of the Prophet Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, saw it, he was so shocked to see such an innovation in the religion. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as we know, is one of the scholars of the Sahaba, one of the scholars of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Prophet ﷺ praised him when he said that his legs are more heavy in the weight of balance than the mountain of Uhud. When people laughed at his how skinny his legs were, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said his legs are heavier in the scale of balance than the mountain of Uhud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, in this occasion that happened, shows us how important being against innovations in the matters of the religion, even if it's something simple. This story, narrated by Amr ibn Salama, and it's an authentic story, narrated by Imam Darimi, he said that we were sitting at the door, at the gate of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his house, before the Dhuhr prayer, and he went, so that when he get out of his house, we would walk with him to the masjid. At the time being, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he asked, did Abu Abdul Rahman, meaning Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, did he came out yet? So he said no. So he sat with us, Amr ibn Salam is saying this, so he sat with us till Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu came out. And this is one of the manners of the students of knowledge to their teachers. They waited for him till he get out when he was going to the masjid. So when he got out, we all stood up and we start walking with him. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ also, he said, Aba Abdul Rahman, calling Abdullah ibn Mas'ud with his nickname. He told him that I saw something in the masjid earlier, something that I had feel bad when I saw, but I didn't see anything except good. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked him, what is it? He said, if you have light, you would see it. That means we're going to the masjid, you see what I saw. Then he told him, I saw in the masjid people having circles, sitting in circles, waiting for the salah. In every circle, there is a man, and in their hands, there are stones, little pebbles. And they would say, the man would say, say Allahu Akbar 100 times. And they would say Allahu Akbar 100 times. He would tell them, say La ilaha illallah 100 times, and they would say the same. And he would say Subhanallah 100 times, and they would say the same. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, what did you tell them? He said, I did not tell them anything, waiting for you to come to see what's happening. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud told him, shouldn't you order them to count their sins and tell them that your rewards won't be vain, won't be in vain? Meaning that he did not like what he heard. They're doing something that the Prophet ﷺ never did, that he radiallahu anhu never heard of at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So he felt so much upset that people would do something or some sort of worship that had never been done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So the narrator of the story, he said, then we left and we went to the masjid and we saw what the people were doing. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he saw this, he went to the man in the middle of the circle and he told him, what are you doing? What am I seeing you doing? So he said, O Aba Abdul Rahman, this is the nickname of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, some pebbles that were counting our dhikr, our remembrance of Allah with. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, then you should count your sins instead of counting your rewards. And then he said, woe to you, all followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fast are you trying to destroy yourselves? See how strict he is with them and how very strongly stressing this. He said, how can you be that fast in destroying yourself? Here are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ among you, and there is abundance upon among you. And here the clothing of the Prophet ﷺ is still as it is, and his dish is still not broken. That means the Prophet ﷺ just died not too long ago, and you're innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was not present at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So he told them, by the name of Allah, you are either on a way better than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you are opening a brand new gate of astray, of tawara. So he told them, Wallahi, O Aba Abdurrahman, we did not want anything but the khair. We did not want anything but doing good deeds, which is actually the same reason everybody that does innovation would say. We're not doing anything bad, we're not committing sin, we're not drinking alcohol, we're not fornicating, we're making remembrance of Allah in the masjid. What's wrong with that? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. Is that something that the scholar said should be written in gold and being hanged in the wall and people would see it all the time? In which he said, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. How many people want the good, but they never reach it? How many people want the good, but they never reach it? A lot of people want to seek the good, but they would never reach it. Why? Because they seek a way other than the way the Prophet ﷺ. And the story go on after that, but the evidence from the story how he radiallahu anhu was so upset to see people innovating in the religion of Allah, doing something that the Prophet ﷺ never did, and he showed them that the good intentions are not enough. You have to do things the way the Prophet ﷺ did. Imam Malik, and I don't want to take this to be too long, he had an incident with a man that every time he finishes his salah, he would make sujood. Every time this man would finish his salah, he would make sujood, prostrate, and make dua, whatever he does. Something that is not part of after the salah, and the Prophet has never done that, the companions never done that. So Imam Malik told him, I forbid you from doing such a thing, otherwise fitna would afflict you. So this man, when Imam Malik told him that, he told him, and what fitna would afflict me? And I'm making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told him, O Imam, you think Allah would punish me because I'm making sujood to Him? See, this is a very good point that he has. He said, you think Allah would punish me because I'm making sujood, prostrating to Him? So Imam Malik, rahimahullah tabaraka ta'ala, says, yes, He would punish you because you think that you have surpassed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in something good that he didn't do in matters of worship. Who are you to think that you can do something good or better in matters of worship that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do? And then he recited the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he said, and let those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah and way beware lest some fitna, whether it's disbelief or trials or affliction, should befall them, or a painful torment would be inflicted on them. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who disobey the Prophet ﷺ, be away from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, beware that they would be afflicted with trials and fitness and all sorts of fitna, and a great punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So see how they understood this religion. Although the man is doing something good, he's not doing anything bad, and he even told them, you think Allah would punish me because I'm making a prostration? And he told him, yes, because you think that you have surpassed the Prophet ﷺ, thinking that you are doing something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do and you get rewards for it. There is no way. So the principle is, in matters of worship, everything is forbidden. In matters of worship, everything is forbidden unless those things that have been legislated by Allah and His Messenger ﷺ. Again, and I would like to stress that over and over again, acts of worship are all prohibited, except those which Allah or His Messenger legislated. And so many different stories of the companions and the tabi'een and the great scholars that had showed the people that leaving the things that the Prophet ﷺ left is a way of the sunnah, and you get rewarded for it, and this is the religion. Exactly in the same manner that you would do things the Prophet ﷺ did. The doings and the things that the Prophet ﷺ left are both way to follow the Prophet ﷺ. So this is some of the things that we would mention about bid'ah and the danger of innovation in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope I made it clear. If there's anything that are not clear or doubtful to someone, please ask questions, because this is an important issue, and I hope maybe, you know, the language I didn't convey things the proper way, but I hope things, you know, are understandable. Jazakumullahu khair.
Alhamdulillah, thank you, brother, for wonderful speech. Wonderful. I had a question. I've got a couple questions, so I'll just ask one, and then inshallah, if anybody else has any questions, I'll wait for my other questions. But when you were talking about, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for raising his hands in dua after salat, now did my question was, did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he not perform dua always after salat, or did he just not raise his hands all the time while performing dua after salat? So I was kind of confused about that. Maybe, inshallah, you could clarify that for me, inshallah.
Okay, as far as the raising the hands after each salat to make dua, we mentioned that as part of the things that the Prophet ﷺ left, that he didn't do that after each salat. So we should also leave that as part of following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith that the dua after each salah is accepted by Allah. Some scholars, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, had explained this hadith saying that it means at the end of the salah, meaning before making salam. Also the others that said it's after the salah. After the salah, we know that certain things that the Prophet ﷺ used to say, and it has the form of dua, has the form of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would make dua in sujood, make dua after tashahud, and also make dua after the finishing the salah in the speech. For example, one of the things that a Muslim would say after the salah is, for example, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, which is a form of dua. Oh Allah, help me in matters of dhikr and your thankful, thanking, and doing ibadah the proper way. So this is a way of dua, right? Because you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill these things for you. But the Prophet ﷺ said that without raising his hands. It's basically the dhikr that you say after the salah is a way of dua, but without raising the hands. Raising the hands was not done by the Prophet ﷺ after each salah. But if a person, for example, once in a while he would feel like making dua, and this is one of the times where the dua will be accepted. If a person feels to make dua, then he should make dua. But making dua after each salah that a person does, this is a way that the Prophet ﷺ never done. And people usually, which is another principle, if one of the innovations are spread, it causes one of the sunnah to be away or to disappear. One of these sunnahs that disappeared is the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not turn away the dua between the adhan and the iqamah. Between the adhan and the starting of the salah and iqamah, at this time the dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find people talking between the adhan and the iqamah, busy with other things, and they don't make dua. But once they finish the salah, they start making dua, which is the opposite. The sunnah, if you want to make dua, make it before you pray, between the adhan and the iqamah, waiting for the salah. Or in sujood, in tashahud, and in other types where the Prophet ﷺ had made dua. So again, it's raising the hands, whereas the thing that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do after each salah. One thing I wanted to mention, if somebody has an example, for example, or something doubtful about a certain issue or a certain act of worship that he might think is a bid'ah or not, a person should ask so that we have a clear evidence of his worship that he's doing it the way the Prophet ﷺ did. Correct your dua, you make it in sujood, you make it in tashahud before you end the prayer. This is where you dua you do. And you make the dhikr that you say after the salah, you say, you do it as the Prophet ﷺ did it, and not necessarily raising your hands. It's usually the last tashahud. the last tashahhud before the salam, before you finish the salah. Should we ever raise our hands in dua? Of course, one of the manners of making dua is raising the hands. Don't misunderstand me that I mean when you make dua you don't raise your hands. No, one of the manners of making dua is raising your hands. But this is in general. If you make it a specific time that you always raise your hands in dua, then you have to have an evidence why you're doing this every certain act of worship or a certain time or a certain period, whatever. So we're talking about raising the hands after each salah or raising your hands during the khutbah of Jummah. These things the Prophet ﷺ never did, so we should leave it. But if a person wants to make dua, general dua, any time, one of the manners of dua is that a person raise his hands in dua.
Alaykum salam. Yeah, I'm sorry. Imam Ibrahim has given a lecture at the website. It's called a beautiful lecture on Bida. He says it's salam to you too. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.